Chapter 11. Monday, May 18th, dawned brightly beautiful, the way early summer days arrive after a good rain. The grass was greener, the sky bluer, the clouds a soft peach. Spring had arrived late that year, which made the scent of honeysuckle seem even sweeter as it wafted across the barbed wire fences separating one rural property from the other. In the older part of town where two-storied houses once represented the socially prominent, lavender blossoms hung like clusters of grapes from the wisteria vines that traveled up sides of houses and across porch roofs. Rose gardens celebrated summer with sweet scents from roses with names like Silver Moon, Simplicity, and Moonlight Melody. The first day of the school week was not like other Monday mornings or the ones to follow. News of Ruiann Park's death had been reported on Channel 5 out of Fort Smith on the evening news, and on the front pages of the Southwest Times Record and the Arkansas Gazette, the Little Rock Morning newspaper. School children, anxious for school to be over for the summer, heard their parents talking and became frightened, using that as a reason to stay home. A steady line of cars and trucks drove up and down Logtown Hill, slowing in front of the house that was referred to by many as the show place of Van Buren. Rusty and Linda Myers dropped their children off at school and drove to Sam Hughes' home. When they knocked on the door, a friend of theirs, Martha Robinson, opened the door. She welcomed them in with a plea.
"Maybe you can convince Sam Hugh to get in the shower. He's so drunk he's not making sense."
Santos had stayed the night, dozing in the chair. He nodded to Linda Myers and shook Rusty's hand.
"He's in bad shape, drank all night long," Santos said. "Never left that chair except to take a piss, and I don't think he always did that when he should have. His clothes are wet, so is the chair."
Rusty took Sam Hugh's arm and pulled with all his strength.
"Sam Hugh, come on, friend, and get in the shower."
"I'm drunk, Rusty."
His words were mumbled and disconnected, not unlike other words during other drunks when Rusty had put Sam Hugh to bed. He remembered the two-week drunk he'd gone on after he got the appointment to be a federal prosecutor. Rusty had taken care of him that time by making excuses to the federal judge he was assigned to.
"Mother's dead, dead, dead. I keep seeing her on the floor."
"Listen, Sam Hugh, you got to sober up. Santos told me you're supposed to go see Sheriff Ball this morning. You've got to sober up."
Rusty nodded to Santos. "Get his other arm and let's drag him to the shower if we have to." Martha, a feisty woman popular in local Democratic politics, had worked hard in Bill Clinton's race for governor of Arkansas, as had Sam Hugh. In fact, an autographed picture of Clinton hung over his desk in his office. Linda Myers turned to Martha, who was busy searching for something in her bag.
"I'm going over to clean up all the blood in the house. I told Rusty I'll do it. Want to help me?"
Martha took the top off the lipstick she was searching for and said,
"Oh, I couldn't. I faint at the sight of blood."
She ran the tube over her lips and rubbed them together.
"Besides, I have to get home."
Not surprised that Martha wouldn't want to help, she told her it was okay, that she had brought rubber gloves, a bucket, and some old towels from home. Linda Myers was a petite woman with short auburn hair and a smattering of freckles across her face. As a faithful member of the First Presbyterian Church and homeroom mother for three separate classes, her life was busy. She worked in the office of a pediatrician in Fort Smith. Her husband was in charge of a government office dedicated to bringing new businesses into the area. Both were active in theater groups. They seemed to be a happily married couple, and with the passage of time, year after year, the children counted themselves lucky that their parents loved each other. Chief Hicks sat in a chair by the back door. He was finishing up the last of two sausage biscuits he'd bought from the McDonald's down the hill.
"Good morning, Mrs. Myers."
He noticed her bucket was full of cleaning supplies.
"Before you start cleaning, I need to check with the sheriff to see if it's okay."
"My husband spoke with Sheriff Ball earlier this morning. He said it was fine."
"Well, I can't just take your word for it. Let me call the sheriff."
Linda Myers took a deep breath. She'd not slept much the night before,
and she wanted to get at the job before she lost her courage.
Okay, then.
While she waited for permission to get down on her hands and knees to scrub blood off the floor, she walked along the back patio, remembering the wedding held for Linda and Howard in the backyard. It had been in early August, and she remembered how hot it was. Candles in hurricane lamps had lined the driveway, and during the ceremony you could hear the glass break from the heat of the candles combined with the 100 degrees of the day. Glenda Yancey, a darling little girl of 8 who lived across the street, had worn a blue dotted Swiss dress and acted as flower girl. Perhaps she had been Linda's only real friend, and she had doted on the little girl, always giving her presents for her birthdays. Howard was from North Little Rock, and he'd had more guests seated on his side than Linda had had on hers. She and Rusty had been there, and she remembered the shy, almost frightened look on the bride's face. Her brother had given her away to a man Rusty and his wife had taken an immediate dislike to, and they'd both confided later that they didn't think the marriage would last more than a year or two. Linda Myers also remembered the sour expression on Rui Ann's face, like she had smelled a foul odor. Her hair had been tightly permed, and she'd worn a navy blue dress with a white collar that Linda had bought her for the wedding. She remembered how proud Linda had been that she was also able to buy her mother a dress for the rehearsal dinner held at Lewis Cafeteria in Fort Smith. By then, the father of the bride was dead. Linda Myers snapped back to the horrid scene of the murder when she heard Chief Hicks lumbering across the graveled drive.
"Sheriff Ball says you can go on in. Mrs. Park's daughter's inside. You should tell her what you're going to do. She's pretty jumpy."
Linda Myers heard Linda in her mother's bedroom. The door was slightly ajar, so she knocked a few times.
"It's me, Linda Myers."
Linda stood at her mother's chest of drawers. She held a white nylon slip in her hand.
"The funeral director told me to pick out the clothes Mother should be buried in."
"Oh, okay. I only wanted to tell you that I'll be in the den cleaning up."
Linda lowered her head and murmured a thank you.
"It's hard, going through her stuff, I mean."
"I'm sure. I'll just get along with my business."
Linda Myers first walked into the bedroom where the bloody mattress lay atop a maple bed. She attempted to turn it over, but it was too heavy. Instead, she leaned it up between the wall and the side of the bed. She dropped a large sponge into the soapy water she'd prepared in the park kitchen sink. Another bucket of rinse water held an old cloth diaper. On her hands and knees, she followed the dried, bloody trail into the den, scrubbing and rinsing, scrubbing and rinsing, scrubbing and rinsing until the water had to be dumped down the kitchen sink. She repeated the process until she reached the den where Sam Hugh had found his mother. Quickly realizing the blood was too heavy and thick for a sponge, she went into the kitchen and found a spatula. When she finished, she took the two buckets and threw them in an outside garbage can. For a moment, she wondered if some kind of important evidence might be in the can, but she couldn't bring herself to look and prolong her stay. Enough for friendship, she thought. Enough for love. When she left, she noticed a bloody palm print on the refrigerator door. She wondered if she should wipe it off, thinking surely the police had already seen it and taken prints. Surely they had. She left it just in case. The cleaning job had nauseated Linda Myers. She needed to find Rusty to take her home. She didn't think she could stay around this gruesome scene another minute. She would never have imagined herself involved so intimately with a murder. She was an Air Force brat, and she'd lived all over, so when she met Rusty at the University of Arkansas and married the man who wanted to settle down in Van Buren, a town he was born in, she was excited about establishing roots. Sam Hugh Park had welcomed her, and she was charmed by his intellect and his ability to see humor in the most mundane of events. Sam Hugh could tell of a trip to Sherman's grocery store, where a variety of customers came down from the small surrounding communities of Figure 5, Natural Dam, Chester, and Mountainburg for their Saturday shopping, forming the heart of a great story, and told with a masterful talent for colorful description and perfect impersonations of the people he called genuine. Like Holden Caulfield, Sam Hughes' favorite literary character, he could spot a phony a block away. Even the car he currently drove was the object of a good tale. He'd taken it in when a client couldn't pay a fee, and the hood had come off on the Arkansas River Bridge. Did I go back to get it? Hell no, I could have been arrested for causing an accident. Linda Myers also recalled the young woman Sam Hugh had dated in college, a journalism major who could match wits with him. She wanted to marry him, but Ruiyan discouraged their friendship. Eventually, they stopped seeing each other. Was Ruiyan Park jealous of all women where her son was concerned? Did she condone the young boys with whom he had sexual relationships as just fun and games and nothing more? As long as Sam Hugh was without a wife, he would forever be tied to his mother in a man-woman relationship. It wasn't unheard of. Shakespeare had written plays about just that sort of thing. Linda Myers walked toward their car and stood against the side door. It felt warm on her back. She was in such a hurry to complete her task that she hadn't noticed the steady ache between her shoulders and lower back. She saw Linda Martin emerge from the kitchen door, carrying a paper sack and shoebox in one hand and a garment bag in the other. She barely smiled as she walked by, and Linda Myers thought about the old adage of trying to get through an unpleasant task by taking one step at a time. That's what they all would have to do.